有请杭盖乐队和导师刘欢共同演唱《轮回》。
Oh, here it comes.
Sit back and vibe to this. Okay, seriously. The Dick Ripper showed us this one.
I got my car up to 180 kilometers an hour while this was playing.
This enabled me to get one more submission at Jiu-Jitsu this week. One more.
I listened to this while I was on the toilet, and I already did all the next week's poops.
That cross collar locked it in.
I want to go in it. I might do this entire episode talking in the Mongolian throat singing voice.
All right, let's get this over with so we don't ruin the drop. My name's Bill, and I am basically offline in terms of social media, so if you want to get a hold of me, TFB, bro. Who are you?
I am the friendly neighborhood safety ninja, and if you want to get a hold of me, you have to marry into my family. Oh.
Nice. We are located at 436 Colburn Street East in Brantford, Ontario.
I need to repel some invaders. Oh, there it is.
Get a hold of us online, thedevilsbench.com. You know where to find us on social media, /devilsbench, and all that good stuff.
This is essentially like, I don't know, I imagine it's somewhere in Asia. I know it's terribly racist when you say, but somewhere in racist.
It's not really.
Somewhere in Asia's version of The Voice. And it's like the American The Voice. Some fucking like chubby white dude's going to be singing like the Plain White Tees or something. And listen to this note in 3 seconds. Oh. No one and everyone else on like ours is just going to be like, oh, hey there, Delilah. What's it like in New York City? This guy is just like ripping whale dicks off with one hand and playing a two-string flute with the other hand.
So coming at you with another...
You can't even focus.
No, it's savage.
You can't concentrate.
Savage.
And then the dude who comes up in a moment with that angelic voice. I couldn't think of another word.
We also don't have any songs where that's an appropriate lyric. Like, you can't just...
Unless it's like Bruno Mars or something like that. He could pull that off.
He can. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so, got another one of the homies from the Jiu-Jitsu Club. And hopefully, by the time I get enough of them on here...
Fucking Axl Rose can't do that shit.
Oh. I'm going to start with the, hey, we should start a podcast at the club. Hey, we should start a podcast at the club. Because I heard people talking about Coach's episode in passing, and I totally stayed out of the conversation. I was like, yeah, no, totally. I could totally run that. I could host it. I could do everything required. I already do.
Everyone should have to try and talk while they're being choked out.
Well, you know, I really like, you know, a certain type of typewriter.
The homie, Josh, welcome to the Benchcast.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I'm
going to fade this out before we start fighting each other.
Good. Now we can pay attention because like that uses 87% of my CPU when I listen to that.
Oh, fuck. There's a lot going on there.
That is outrageous.
I think I just grew a third nipple while listening to that. I don't know why, but it threw my hormones out of balance.
I want to like chop wood.
That's
something.
What I said to Jesse. He showed me that at like 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, bitch, how am I supposed to go to bed?
Oh, yeah.
I've got 4 trees to go, like, chop down with my bare goddamn hands.
Gotta run some hills.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Telling you, I just want to go, like, just defend my homeland.
I listened to that on Tuesday night on my way to jiu-jitsu. I told you I would, and I did because I'm a good friend.
Okay.
First, I was listening to Wiz Khalifa, and then I listened to that. And it is more powerful than the gangsterest of beats. I got to listen. I can't listen to like a podcast or like, Hey There Delilah on the way to.
Yeah. There's never a good time to listen to Hey There Delilah.
And I listened to that and I got out of the car and I was ready for war. It's just what it is. Okay. So I have something I want to cut into because
sure.
A little bit of context here for those of you who have not been adequately strangled by little Josh here.
Way to put him on my side of the table. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, bud.
You noticed that about Coach last week, though. Too, eh? I was like, mm-mm. You want to disagree with him? Disagree with him. But I got an escape route here. I'm across the table. You're one of the guys that typically stays behind after class when we normally get into, like, some conversation.
Yeah.
And that has typically led to my getting home at, like, 10:45.
Way too late, yeah.
Because you'll go from, like, hey, did you see that Ezekiel on UFC on the weekend? That was crazy. So how about religion?
Is Josh the guy who gave you that wicked, like, carrot bran muffin recipe that you were talking about, or... Is that a different guy?
I don't think that was me.
Yeah,
no, not a big fan of carrot.
Somebody at Jits has a wicked,
like
bran muffin recipe that Bill couldn't stop talking about.
I should pull you aside one day and tell you about what you have given me though, because I don't think I've actually.
We're gonna get into it tonight.
Your nose?
No.
Not about your nose.
No.
Was that you?
Yeah, this is the guy. That
a boy.
I felt so bad. He's so slippery.
Oh no, man! It was like. Like, immediately, I texted everybody. Yeah, so I broke my nose at Jits tonight.
I told him pics or it didn't happen. He didn't send me a picture, so I still don't believe it.
The funniest thing was, that was the second guy that came in to, like, see, oh, there's somebody bleeding. Do you want pictures for Facebook? I was like, no, I'm good. No, I've actually talked about you on this podcast before.
Oh. Good things, I hope.
Yeah, a good fundamentally, like, personality disrupting things.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, we should have a discussion about that sometime.
Bill's like, yeah, there's this guy at jiu-jitsu I sparred with tonight. He's just got abs that just go for days and shoulders that just don't quit.
With him, I call it hug fighting.
Struggle snuggle?
Yeah.
Struggle snuggle.
So you're one of the guys that will typically... It's weird how that happens there. I think it's maybe just the culture of the club, I guess, mm-hmm. or... the guys that are involved, sometimes, you know, we just get into conversation. That's what I initially talked to the coach about coming on, because I was like, man, you are one of the most intelligent people I've ever met.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you got to come on here and drop some knowledge bombs. And then Wyatt and I were just like, so, virtual reality. And you're like, so, classical philosophy. They just, and on he went.
Yeah.
So I've been paying attention to this website /... like series of blogs / podcast. It's like one of those media companies, I guess, whatever you want to call it, online.
Sure.
They do a whole whack of different stuff. Mm-hmm. They're called The Art of Manliness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so they do... their basic idea is trying to uncover and reinstate some of what they believe are the traditional qualities, or the historically seen as traditional qualities of, quote, air quote, good men.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to one of their podcasts, and it just got me reeling. I've been back on the running train, finally.
Nice.
After, like, the Christmas macaroon and Nanaimo bar fest. It's so hard to break, man. It's so hard to break.
Oh, yeah.
But I listen to these podcasts because they're perfect. They're, like, 45 minutes, so... I know when they're starting to round it down, it's start like I just run around the block in the wintertime continuously. I'm that guy. They're like, he's still going.
A little hamster wheel there, eh?
Yeah. So they were talking about this thing. I might have the actual terminology wrong, but essentially it was broken down in one of their podcast episodes that we have, or the theory was, that we have three circles of social interaction, or three... circles of closeness, maybe, with people in general. Mm-hmm. If your first circle, closest to the epicenter, which is you, if that first circle is your immediate family and your friends that you can't do without, that kind of thing, like your 10 or 15 people. Mm-hmm. The next circle out from that would be the people who are acquaintances, people who you work with, people who... you know, if the guy quit your work or whatever, you'd be like, oh, that's really crappy. He was one of the homies, but yeah.
Never going to see him again.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And the third wave out of the third circle would be the guy that serves your coffee at Tim Hortons.
Right.
Another human being, and he's totally like a decent dude, but you have no idea what his last name is. So the idea behind this podcast was they were saying that Maybe not in thanks to technology, but in large part because of the way that technology has made this change available, we have changed in the sense that we've definitely pushed out the second circle, and we're in many ways pushing out the first circle in favor of the third circle. Mm-hmm. And the example that stuck with me, like they, you know how they give you a number of different metaphors and whatever. The example that stuck with me was, it used to be, I like watching the Leafs, and Mac down the road likes watching the Habs. And that's what it is. And if we're the only two guys on the street that like watching hockey, or I don't have any buddies that watch hockey or anything, we got to watch hockey together. Mm-hmm. So I might watch some Habs games, he might watch some Leafs games, back and forth. And we kind of have to not accept, but we have to live within each other's differences. Mm-hmm. And technology has made it so that we don't have to do that anymore.
That's right.
We can find the tribes that we want to attach ourselves to and, relatively speaking, isolate ourselves from the real people around us in favor of, and these are huge blanket statements, right? In favor of finding the tribes that we want to belong to. So, first I want your thoughts on those ideas, and then I'm going to tell you about a revelation I've had. And I kind of explained this to you in text, but it's really hard to articulate over a text. So I'm going to drop a bomb on you. We're not friends anymore.
That's fine.
That's fine. That's a wrap, folks.
Shutting it down.
So what do we think? Do we agree with that?
I think it's something that we've touched on when we have talked about stuff like this on the podcast before. But, you know, that's the whole idea when we came at it from an idea of, like, you know, let's call it nerdery or whatever. So you're really into, I don't know enough about Magic the Gathering, a certain type of Magic the Gathering that's not the, give me an example.
What Commander. Are
the, Commander. You're really into Magic the Gathering Commander. So it's hard enough for you in Brantford in a certain age, like without social media or anything like that, to find Magic the Gathering players. So you go online or whatever, but being online now allows you to skip through all the people who don't like Magic the Gathering and skip through all the people who do like Magic the Gathering, but specifically like, you can go right to the group that specifically like Commander. So you don't have to water down your gaming. You don't have to water down your choices. You can just go straight to the truest of what you're into, which is very helpful if you have a very niche idea. You're really into something, then like that's all the subreddits and everything are kind of organized that way. So it's like, I only want to talk to people who follow the Waldstad method of Planet Aquariums. Fuck everybody else and their goldfish and bubblegum looking gravel on the bottom. I straight up want an ecosystem, son. And the problem with that is that now none of us are, and not that we choose to be or even have to choose to be, we're so used to getting what we want on the tiniest level, is that even moderate, inconveniences seem so big to us now. Like I was saying to Robbie, I kind of leave you alone a little bit to give you a break now, and I drop all my philosophical shit on Robbie now. But I was sitting there, and so we are hosting a birthday party at my house. My brother-in-law's birthday and my wife's birthday are a couple of weeks apart. So we're going to set up the TV, and then we got my first ever smart TV. I always had like the first generation flat screen that, instead of weighing 400 pounds, only weighed 200 pounds.
Nice.
So that died after 10 years, and I have like a real people TV now. And it wouldn't turn on. So I spent like 25 minutes Googling what the error could be, because before it's one of two things. Now it's one of 17 things, and there's all these different ways to fix it. And then we get through the day, like the TV works, and we put that on the background and yada, yada. Then I go to bed, and we went to bed really early, and I like to throw on Apple TV and watch those Taste Made videos because it's just like food porn, and I love it. And the Apple TV wouldn't connect to the wireless network in my house, and I'm fucking pissed again because it's like, it worked yesterday. Why isn't it working today? And I felt so silly because it's like the fucking magic information that travels through that little box underneath my dresser in my computer room isn't transmitting the information to my TV wirelessly to fucking... And it's just like I was so pissed off by a thing like 10 years ago didn't exist. But it's because I'm so used to getting everything I want. It
such the nth degree that now it's like everything seems like a huge inconvenience because now you don't have to get stuck talking to that person about, I guess we'll talk about magic. It's like, you're not into Commander and only Commander? Fuck you, I got to go find somebody who is, because I can find somebody now. And that's probably why those first two circles have disappeared, because if you don't fit into exactly the mold of person I'm looking for, I don't need to waste my time with you. Mm-hmm. I can go online and find 2,000 people who are into exactly what I'm into.
What do you think, Josh? Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I definitely think that seems to be what's going on. Whether or not it's a positive thing, though, I don't know. I mean, it seems that there's this... people tend to be cultivating themselves, these little groups of like-minded thinkers that doesn't really leave them open to a lot of a lot of variety when it comes to, you know, life philosophy or, you know, anything that could be important in character building like that. So I think there was this, I keep getting it confused with Drake's equation. I think it's Dunbar's number. It's like 150 people is the maximum amount of people that you can have an active relationship with, right? And you've got this popularity contest of people trying to get their social media bigger circle as big as possible, and you see people with 1,000, 1,200 plus people on their friends list, and you wonder, is that really doing you any good, or is that just, you know, is that just the popularity contest if you're adding the guy from Tim Hortons because, hey, I know you, let's be friends on social media so we can pump that up.
Like, there's got to be less worth or less value in that relationship, right?
For sure.
I guess, actually, you know, I just saw on Facebook today, I created a new account so that I could very specifically trim down and limit my exposure to people who I either don't like or just don't know.
Yeah.
And Tina, one of the adamant listeners of this show, I saw her commenting on the fact that she's kind of sick of the drama that comes along with Facebook about, well, I don't agree with you. And I suppose that's the other thing that happens when you seek out those little tiny tribes, right, is that you create an echo chamber.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that, you know, you're saying you don't get those extra ideas. Well, somebody might get mad at you for even thinking something different.
All the time. That's one of the reasons why I left Facebook. It wasn't happening to me directly because I didn't interact at all.
Sure.
But I was just watching people I knew argue with people they knew or people they didn't know. And that, I was actually funny. I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast with Brian Callen on it, and they were talking about having conversations to have a discuss ideas versus trying to win the conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think every conversation online, it's as if the people engaged in it feel that there needs to be a winner or a loser, and they have to be the winner. I mean, there's a lot of things that I throw out here or in conversations with people where I'll start with, you know, I may be completely off base here, but here's where I'm coming from.
Sure, yeah.
Well, and online, too, I mean, look at the karma system on... That was the most Canadian way to say that ever.
Look at the karma system.
Karma. Up on the roof.
The karma system on Reddit, or, you know, likes or hearts, it is really actually winning. Because if I get more likes than you, I won. My point is resonating more than yours is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, one of the things that I had a difficult time, I guess, translating over text, but that I've started to come to terms with over the last couple days. You know how you can always say something, but you don't really actually mean it? It's like, I always...
It's like when I say I love you to my wife.
Oh, oof. There's that awkward pause we're always talking about.
I was like, let's see what these guys say to this.
It's like when you say, I always used to say that Facebook doesn't matter, or Instagram doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
But it's like over the last maybe 9 or 10 days, I know definitively it doesn't matter.
No, absolutely not.
I know that. And I heard another story on a similar podcast. It might have even been The Art of Manliness, where they were talking about you're about to be a dad. You and I are dads.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about bathing your kids and about how this one dad was describing when he had his first son, pre-smartphone era, it was all about playing with boats and doing this and that and farting around, playing in the bathtub. Second kid comes around, iPhone era, and he's sitting on the toilet just reading while the kid's in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's his fault. It's
absolutely
not, it's not the phone's fault.
Nope.
It's his fault.
Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't turn itself on.
You know, but it becomes one of these things. Actually, this was in the interest of honesty. It came from one thing you said to me over text, Wyatt, where some context here is full story context in a couple minutes. On New Year's, we had a crisis at my house, like an actual medical emergency, and it went bananas. And so in typical Bill Dungy fashion, I took that and went, well, I obviously need to become the most trained any civilian can be in medical emergencies.
Of course, so, that makes sense. It's logical.
And so I went...
And I need to travel back in time.
Yeah. I went, got standard first aid, and I'm signed up for the medical first responder course.
Holy cow, already?
Yeah.
I've been saying I need to do that for years now. It took you like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of how I roll.
Man, works.
A little bit obsessive. And... So the whole thing was, I was like, okay, it's one thing to go and take first aid. It's a lot like knitting, or it's a lot like jiu-jitsu, right? Mm-hmm. I can watch Renner Gracie videos until my eyes bleed. But until I start choking people,
absolutely,
it's no good. Yeah. And so I've been on this like mission to volunteer with St. John Ambulance or Red Cross or Sally Ann.
Cool.
Anybody. Nobody's looking for volunteers. They're all full for... However that even happens or works.
I guess that's a good thing.
Good problem to have.
Yeah.
The only one, the closest one I could find was St. John Ambulance out of Burlington. But I'm like, I'll drive it. But that's like an hour there, an hour back. Now we're talking about 2 hours for half an hour meeting. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Well. So it becomes, where was I going with that? Context about that led to.
Came from something I said.
Yeah. I was going to, I was telling you about, I want to, I sent in my application to the Red Cross for their emergency response team. And I was like, I want to go to like Fort Mac when they have a fire and like do things that matter and do things that have value. But I was all pissy because they weren't looking for volunteers. And I'm like, come on, just let me in. And you told me, well, you could focus your efforts locally and not just because local, like not just because local, but because you would be directly impacting the environment that you're going to, that your son is going to inherit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh.
That is deep.
And then I kind of like, I sat with that for a little while and I was thinking about it. You know, and like I have to like take that away and go figure out if I, because I immediately was like, I completely agree with that statement. My mind has changed. And then I was like, it's almost like when I'm reading like the Taoism stuff, I have to read a paragraph.
And think about it for a month.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I don't know about all that.
That's another thing. That's another thing that social media has killed, because what you're supposed to do in today's day and age is immediately decide what icon you're going to click after somebody says something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you click on thumbs up, thumbs down, and then never think of it ever again. It's like we don't deeply think on concepts or ideas. We open our mouth, let sound come out, and after the begins, we start forming the words that become our opinion, and then we fight it to the death. You're not allowed to change your mind online. You're not allowed, and that's another thing too, where you know I reserve the right to change my opinion on anything as new information comes to me. And then, well, that's you're flip-flopping, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, no, because I'm not so married to any of my opinions or ideas on anything. That I feel that they or I am infallible. So
that's growth, right?
Good on you for not clicking the like or dislike button immediately, even though you couldn't text message.
It's at the end of the day, that's what I'm kind of realizing is that, oh, I can have a really direct impact locally that is visible and maybe not even visible, but like feelable. Mm-hmm. Like I can,
you get to see the actual results.
And you can do that to your first and second ring. You know, like, for example, I was spending all this time trying to figure out, like, I want to go out to Fort Mac. I want to go and do something with the Red Cross. Meanwhile, the steepest stairs in Brantford are the stairs that go to my basement. And every time somebody goes down them, I'm like, please don't fall down those stairs. I've lived in that house for 5 years, and I've always meant to put a banister up. You know what I mean? So it's like even my own house is being neglected in that way.
Absolutely.
The things that I'm supposed to be checking off the list of man stuff that I got to do is being neglected. For what? So that I can go and do things for people in the third ring.
Well, and then
that I don't even know.
Question your motivation on that too. So why is it specifically, I mean, I'm picking on the one example you gave. but why is it, at least for where your brain is or was at, is it more important for you to be prepared and signed up and ready to fly to Fort Mac to maybe be able to help or maybe not? Why is that more important than the real world in my house, stairs leading to my basement, needs a banister?
Probably just the everyday of it. And you know, well, it's like you look at your house every single day and then something pops up and I'm like...
Yeah, what do they call that? Change blindness, you know? Or something like that? Like you see something so often that you don't really pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. But that's a thing too where, you know, I think the examples I was giving you was like, you know, do you have an old widow or something, or a guy who just had a heart attack or something, who lives in your neighborhood whose driveway is snow in it or something like that.
I do the old bird beside me every time it snows.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Nice. She comes out and with like all of her gear on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The toque with the little bob on the top and her like shovel from 1978.
Oh yeah. It's like the size of a spatula. It's like it's going to take you 47 days.
Every time she comes out, go inside and make me cookies. That's the arrangement here. That's how this works.
That's a good deal.
I'll snow blow your driveway. Don't worry about it. Go bake me stuff. That's how it works.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a great deal of, you know, nonprofits in town. Like, I'm sure how many places in town receive like donated clothing that's sitting in bags and piles that could be put on hangers.
I actually got in touch with Cheryl.
Yeah.
From the community gardens thing. I think I'm going to start a community garden down on my street.
Yeah, I had an idea. See, and this is where the hobby ADD comes in. It's not even a hobby. It's like I have all these great ideas or something I wanted to do. We're basically, well, now I'm going to say it on the internet. Doesn't mean I'm doing it, so you can't hold it against me. We're basically, yeah, like you could get people to sign up to, you know, play host to pollinating, like plants that are good for pollinators, you know, like nectar producing plants and stuff, where if somebody just has a yard that's gone to brambles or a yard that's just too much for them to maintain, you could install like a pollinator friendly garden or milkweed for monarch butterflies or something. So then that way
not monarch butterflies.
Not in Bill's backyard, but in the you know, like we have this.
No, I'm terrified of butterflies,
which is really funny.
Yeah. I'm not terrified of them. I just want them all to die.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fair.
He's not afraid of them. He just wants to kill them.
I'll touch them. I'll kill them. Like, I got...
He won't caress
them. That's how it works.
Old story. Josh doesn't know
it. Butterfly, they die, don't they?
They're squishy. On a very, very short ban list at the Butterfly Conservatory.
Really?
Yeah. I killed three of them.
Wow.
And I got ushered out.
Huh.
Yeah.
Life goals.
Anyway. Fuck it. It makes me laugh every time I hear that because I can't picture it.
And I was doing... At this time, I was doing respite for a family... So I like took their 14-year-old autistic son, and they
made a hell of an impression on him.
No kidding.
They bought tickets for us to go, and I was like, I really, really don't like butterflies. And they're like, oh, that's really funny. But I'm like, no.
It is pretty funny, though.
No. And yeah, I murked them.
Wow.
Just like
they just landed on you and you squished them, or what? Like, how do you kill butterflies?
Yeah, they do. And they, you know that thing that when they land on your shoulder, they...
They fan their wings all delicately.
Yeah, that's how they spread their love.
And then it goes, and it opens so that you can see their buggy little, stupid bug.
Yeah, you killed like the last version of this one like endangered butterfly or
something. North African death butterfly. Splat.
Is that a thing? I feel like that should be a thing.
But and that's a thing in a city like this. I mean, Brantford does a great job of their parks and everything like that. But you know, in any area, as more houses get built, and you know, and most houses are grass and things like that. And you see the funniest thing to see in the summertime is some fucking idiot going out with like, and he has like the jetpack like poison sprayer. And he's got a yard that's like half an acre, and there's one fucking dandelion in it. And rather than just bend over and pull it, he's got to go get the fucking Ghostbuster suit on and go and spray poison on this one fucking edible plant. And then like, oh, honey, I just got back from goodness me. I got some organic tomatoes.
Good, I just sprayed a bunch of rocket fuel on a dandelion.
You know, like, what the fuck?
Rocket fuel.
But that was something I wanted to do because that, you know, I mean, I could... buy some goats for a, you know, like I remember when I went to BCI and we had the activism committee, a big thing we did was the World Vision thing, and we wanted to build a well for a school, and we wanted to get goats for a family, and it's just like fucking like bees and butterflies and shit like pollinate stuff around here, you know, and not that it's up to us to do it if, you know, if the farmers can fuck everything up and spray pesticides and stuff and it kills them and we have to fix it, but somebody's got to do it, and if I really want to do something, there's shit I can do here in my community to make my community better. And, you know, some people would say, though, you're in a very privileged community, and there's places in the world that need goats more than you need butterflies. But it's like, if you need to have that connection for the tangible benefit, you can see when you drive past that abandoned lot that used to be covered in garbage that you went and cleaned up or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much you can do in your community that don't let, you know, if all these places you're going to sign up as a volunteer for won't take you because they don't need volunteers, or so they say. There's a ton of shit that I'm sure we can do here that we have that change blindness for, that we drive past a nonprofit all the time that could use help in one way or another, you know?
And here's my question for you, Josh.
Mm-hmm. What the hell have you done lately?
How do you take that and regurgitate that in such a way from dad to child?
Be the change you wish to see.
That's it.
That's Gandhi right there, right? That's that old hermetic axiom of as above, so below, that if you want to change the macrocosm, you first have to start by changing the microcosm of yourself.
Hold on a minute. That might have been the most intelligent six-second blurb we've had in about 128 episodes. Hermetic microcosm, a Tool lyric, and a Mahatma Gandhi quote. Love it.
All right, continue.
Yeah, it's just sometimes we get so focused on changing the bigger picture. You know, we're looking for this magical button to push that's going to fix everything all at once, when there's all these little tiny details that we can correct that are going to add up to a bigger whole. And if all you can do is affect, you know, the bit of trash that you see walking to work in the morning, then that, you know, somebody might see you bend over and pick up that wrapper, and then they might be a little slower to throw one on the ground, or maybe they'll save their cigarette butt for the ashtray that's at the entrance to their door. And little piece by piece, you're going to see all of that change spread like wildfire throughout the community.
I hope that history paints anyone who stood right next to a place to throw your cigarette butt out and instead throws it onto the ground.
That is such a strange behavior.
I don't get that. I
don't understand.
I don't often get, like, I get sarcastically angry every time the wind changes direction, but I don't often get legitimately angry. But when someone throws a fucking cigarette butt out their window mm-hmm. while I'm driving, mm-hmm. I want to fucking run that guy off the road.
Man,
I hate that shit.
How many cup holders do you have in that fucking car? Use one as an ashtray.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
what I mean?
I don't want this garbage in my place of, like, you know, in my car. I'll throw it out in the fucking woods instead. Like, I don't get that.
It's an extension of that lack of self-preservation that they've got for smoking in the first place.
Or,
right? They don't care about their own body. They don't care about their own health. Why would they care about the health of the community and the environment?
Have you ever seen, like, a full, and I'm talking full, like, McDonald's bag, like, takeout bag, like, cups, fucking Big Mac wrappers, like napkins and shit in like a parking lot for like Winners or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a so someone took the time to say, I don't want this garbage in my car anymore. I'll just throw it on the fucking ground.
I watched a guy do that at a red light.
Oh.
I got out of my car, I picked it up, and I put it back through his window, and I said, I think you've dropped this.
That's what I'm saying.
The homie.
This guy's the real deal.
I don't have big enough balls to do that.
When you're 5 feet tall, people think twice. They're like, why is he so sure?
This motherfucker's crazy. I would daydream about that for the rest of my drive home, but I wouldn't have the balls to do that.
Man, when I was on a motorcycle, I used to love the folks that have flicked the cigarette butt out, because all you have to do, and especially like I really wouldn't hurt a fly, but to look like, you know, sleeve tattoos, big chopped up Harley with ape hangers, and all you do is pull up beside them, especially if it's just a one lane highway, move them over, pull up beside them and do the Techno Viking point and just point. You don't got to scream.
That's
you don't
right.
got to say nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It turns into one of those things where, you know, you just hope that there's enough folks out there who are not like that. And I think there are. I think ultimately it's the squeaky gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you see a jerk, it's the jerk that you remember,
yep.
not the guy that held the door for you, even though you thought he probably wouldn't.
I think you also, to an extent, but it does make a difference. It kind of tips the scale a little bit, is you're in control of what lens you look through the world at. I mean, it'd be really hard to sit in Aleppo right now and try and find the beauty in a little dandelion growing through the crack or something like that. You know, like there's certain situations where there just is no beauty to be found. But I mean, if you're walking around and all you notice, and sometimes it's inactive and sometimes it's active, where all you notice are the negative things, and all you're going to continue to notice are the negative things, because it's like that confirmation bias where you're like, you see something you didn't like, and then that makes you think that today's going to be shitty. So then a minor inconvenience is like, see, I knew today was going to be shitty, mm-hmm. but since today's going to be shitty, I'm just going to be shitty. And it's like, I wonder how many, you know, like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon that does to other people that day, where you're the shitty confirmation in someone's day. And I know it sounds really like fruity, but at the same time, like, yeah, you know, there's a disingenuous nature to somebody who always finds the silver lining in everything constantly, because unless you're Jesse, that's just, it's disingenuous.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, I mean, if you can, if you, and that's part of the reason why I had to get rid of Facebook, is because I may not have thought that Facebook status I saw was as big of a deal it was, but I mean, that one person who had to wait 45 seconds for a Starbucks coffee and they spelled my name wrong, it's like you're starting to be like, man, that does fucking suck. I wish there was a dislike button. And then you're like, oh no, no, because now that bullshit just came into my real life I'm actually upset right now. You know?
I think that's the point I was trying to get at earlier too, and I couldn't come up with confirmation bias. It's good you use that term. But I think that's another symptom of this growing trend towards cultivating your social circle on the internet, is that you'll have this confirmation bias of negativity that just seeps in like a metagame into a certain culture. And if you don't have that variety of different groups you go to, like you can come here and play Magic, you can go to the gym and do jujitsu, you can go, you know, wherever, there's all these different places where you meet different social circles, you'll see different perspectives on things and you'll have that healthy balance in your life. It's just like diet and nutrition. If all you eat is kale, you're not going to be healthy despite how fucking good for you kale actually is. You need to have that variety of nutrition in your meal. You need to have that variety of opinions and lifestyles in your social circle.
Can we agree that I'm going to keep bringing jujitsu guys into this podcast?
Sure. I can't. Now, for some reason, I pictured kale like... I've never...
Fuck kale, for the record.
I've never tasted dinosaur underwear before, but if I did, bet you it tastes a lot like kale.
Yeah. I found a spider in my kale once. That was the last time I ever ate kale.
That'd be the last time I ever ate whatever that was that I ate that had a spider.
Can you imagine you found a butterfly in it? Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I'd probably just stop eating.
Ever.
Altogether.
Just deep fried.
I can't
food
think of something more traumatic
than finding a butterfly in something?
No, than eating a butterfly. Unknowingly.
For the butterfly or for you?
Satisfying for you. Like, I'm going to eat this
fucking
butterfly.
Yeah, you eat that fucker.
No, I don't want it in my mouth.
Fuck this butterfly. It's food now.
What if you captured it yourself and you,
like... I wouldn't capture it. I'd kill it.
Oh, yeah, and you kill it and then you eat it.
No, I'm not. Why would I eat it? That's stupid.
What if you were starving in the jungle? Yeah, you're just going to murder it and waste its body?
Yes.
Animal murderer.
Yes. They're not animals. They're demons.
Oh, dear.
Little winged demon.
Winged. That's exactly
right. Yeah, if you put that emphasis on that syllable, then you know it's like... an evil thing.
Here's what I want to know.
Okay.
So I started at JITS in October, I think. And when I went there, so the full story about jiu-jitsu too is I went there like 2 or 3 years prior.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I walked in and I kind of was like watching a class and I was like, this ain't going to happen. Nah, I'm good. And so it was like a little tiny victory when I went and showed up.
Yeah.
And, I remember, like, when you walk in for the first time, everybody looks like a fighter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yes.
You know that archetype though. Like everybody's got this. Especially like when you're first gonna roll with somebody, it's all fun and games, and then you slap and bump, and there's this.
Oh my God.
And the eyes look through the top of the eyebrow, and like you get this like monkey chimpanzee look to you. Mm-hmm.
And the traps flare up. Yeah.
Everybody has this, like, and they're coming at you, and you're like, oh my God, I'm fighting somebody. I'm fighting somebody right now.
I would shit instantly. I get kicked out for shitting too much.
You know, and like, once I think I was there for like 2 or 3 weeks or something, it was probably 2 weeks, I started talking a little bit more and trying to, hey, so I'm Bill, I'm sticking around now.
Yeah.
And then I found out, it was like in passing, somebody was talking about, I heard
Steam, I think,
something about Steam, and I was like, oh, you guys play PC games? So, like, what's that about? What kind of games you play? And then there's just all this, like, oh, we play WoW and Team Fortress 2 and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, no kidding.
I'm glad you touched on that, because I was going to try and make this point earlier about, like, the different pockets that you can be in. And it's almost like because you need to make a different login for every, mm-hmm. you know, forum you go to or every social media account you use, you can kind of paint yourself in a different way so you can fit in better, because there's a real, for a platform like the internet or social media that's supposed to be all about connectivity and inclusivity, there is nowhere, and Reddit's the worst one, and I harp on Reddit all the time, for in-group, out-group behavior.
Oh, yeah.
It is the number one worst. And that's an element of that, too, because you see a bunch of jiu-jitsu guys, and you're like, they can't also like video games. And that's the thing where everyone, you need to be painted into one corner on every platform.
Yeah.
Because just like we were saying earlier about finding that truest version of that thing you're into, it's like you're not allowed to, you know, like be a, you can't, you know, believe in like social liberalness and fiscal responsibility. You have to be all the way left or all the way right,
yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So once I found out that like you play Magic, Coach plays every RPG ever created.
And I thought I was an RPG fan. That guy's an RPG fan.
He might honestly be the Dos Equis guy of my life.
Without without any hesitation.
I was saying to Bill, that guy's like
most interesting man in the world.
Oh, totally. Like when you have, they use the term like a 5-tool player in baseball or something like that. That dude's a 6-tool guy.
Yeah, I just don't. And like we joke about this, but I'm like, Banished. I got him on Banished.
Who's
I got
that? Him, Coach? Or?
Yeah, Coach. I got him on Banished on Tuesday night. I was like, and you float it out there because I'm just being prepared to be like, oh, yeah, I beta tested that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, but I was like, hey, so have you ever heard of Banished? He's like, no. Is that a, like, tabletop? And I was like, you've never heard of Banished. And
now finally. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, you have to play Banished. Anyway, here's what I wanted to know from you. So how did you get your start in BJJ? For me, it was, I constantly say that I'm a little, like, if Joe Rogan says go do something, I go do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the things he has so far told me to do, eat right, limit sugar, start mm-hmm. running, like do these things have immeasurably improved my life.
Absolutely.
And I know that those are just general rules for like, this is the way that you should live your life.
Sure.
But why jiu-jitsu? So,
I don't even know. I think what happened, I'm trying to remember the chain of events here, there was a video that circulated a couple years back now of a guy getting choked, allegedly air quotes, to death by the cops. He was a larger black man selling cigarettes outside of a convenience store. They put him in a rear naked choke, and I guess one thing led to another and he passed away. So that was getting a lot of heat online. And so Henner and Heat on Gracie, they put out a breakdown video of the footage of that incident. And they explained it from a jiu-jitsu perspective of, you know, here's the problem with this officer's choke. Here's where you can see the space between the neck and the arm. This is an ineffective choke. It is clearly not responsible for the death of this individual. And then they supported it with other facts about, you know, after the fact and whatnot. So what that did was it got me very interested in the technicality of the ground game that I'd seen a lot in UFC and just kind of dismissed as, oh, it's just the gay sweat wrestling stuff. I can go grab a beer. Right, because I was always about the stand and brawl, right? That Tito Ortiz style, just like fuck him up, kind of UFC, just bleed, motherfucker. And so it kind of showed me that there was this chess game happening on the ground, and I just got addicted to these Gracie breakdown videos. And they had a couple of street fight vids where, you know, everybody likes the World Star bullshit, where you see some dude, you know, take off his shirt and start swinging haymakers. At least I enjoy that anyway. Maybe not everybody does, but. So they're breaking it down at a really technical level, and it was one of the most technical breakdowns of combat that I'd ever heard outside of Joe Rogan and the UFC. And again, when he started explaining the ground game stuff, I just kind of ignored it, and I moved on with whatever my head was at. So I lost my train of thought now. Fuck.
The breakdown videos got you into jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so I just started exploring more of those, and then that kind of evolved into watching jiu-jitsu like technique videos and just simple stuff like arm bars and triangles and what are these terms that they're using here. And then one thing led to another, and I started like looking up martial arts. I used to do kung fu back in the day for all the benefit that does for you. That was fun, I guess. But as far as like a practical combat system went, I didn't have anything. And especially, you know, as a smaller guy, I'm a father now, you know, there's a lot of I don't even know what the right word would be for that, but there's there's like a lack of confidence that can come from not knowing how to handle yourself in a life and death situation. And I think just being presented with the reality of those situations through the Gracie Breakdown videos, I realized how little I didn't know. And it was like I said to Marcus at the seminar last year when he was asking people for questions and none of us were raising our hands. Marcus is the, he's like the master professor, right? He's the highest ranked guy in Canada, I think. Our coach is professor. I just looked at him and I'm like, dude, I don't know what I don't know. You know, I don't know what questions to ask because I just don't have the vocabulary for it. And what that kind of led me to is just, yeah, fuck it, go check it out. I went online, I Googled like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in the area. And it was kind of funny too because I didn't actually find out about Coach until he contacted me on the Underground. It's an MMA forum, MMA.tv. And they have this area for like Canadian members to post their questions and discuss things. So I posted up, hey, does anybody know about jiu-jitsu in Brantford? I was looking at one of the other gyms in town, but their schedule didn't work out well for me, so I had some questions. And he came on the next day, and he's like, hey, I'm, you know, Brian, the coach at this jiu-jitsu gym downtown. You should come check us out. I went the next day, and I've never left.
Yeah. Eh?
He just so, got, yeah. He just shook your hand and held your hand for a little while and just told you about life.
Yeah, it's like everything will be okay.
And then I made I made a Night Elf Druid and signed my started reading about Pathfinder.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I won't go into detail. I'll have to just sit down with you sometime and tell you like very specifically what this meant to me. But it was actually so if the push was from Joe Rogan to say, forget everything else, go do jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely.
I did it in college, but I did it at Jocelyn's.
Okay.
Very, very different.
Very good, too. He's good.
Yeah. Very different club. And that also might be tainted by my memory in college. Like, the way that I was in college is very different than the way I am now. So it just might have been different for me then, you know. If Joe Rogan's thing was to push me through the door, I would say it was an experience on the mats with you locked it in.
Cool. Thanks, man. I'm glad I could do that for you.
This was like 2 weeks in, and I've told this story like two or three times on the podcast. You got me in a Gogo Plata.
Oh, yeah. That's a good move.
And Gogo Plata is like...
You want to see it?
Your foot swings around this way, and your ankle, the top of your ankle, so top of your foot, scoops underneath the neck, and then your hand reaches around the head and grabs your own toes, and you choke the guy with the back of your foot, and it's terrible. It's not like one of those ones where you're like, oh, this is getting tighter. Oh, I can't do anything about this. It's over. I better tap. As soon as it's in, it's terrible. And if you sink it deep, you can't help it. You really can't help it. Your body makes a sound, and that sound is a lot like this. You can't help it. It pushes what's left of the air out of your throat, and it closes everything off. The elevator door starts closing. Mm-hmm. And so you hit that hard. And you hit that, but then as soon as I tapped, you know, you let go. And there was a... You probably don't even remember this. And this is what the greatest part about human interaction is, that you don't even understand or recognize specifically, like, this is like a personality-shifting moment. I fell back a little bit, like basically onto my knees, and you get that like kind of googly eye. You know what I mean? Like door was closing. Like you're trying to get air back in your system, and you kind of have that the Mortal Kombat finish 'em dance, right? And you were concerned, obviously, because I was on my way out, and you came over and put the palms of your hands under my cheeks.
Such a tender moment.
And like this. And you were trying to say, like, almost like shaking my head, like, hey, come back.
Okay? Yeah.
Come back. You know, like, wake up, dim dum. And are you okay?
And at that moment, Bill fell in love.
There was it's the dichotomy there of, like, it was completely within Josh's capability to kill me or to at least put me unconscious, to really put some physical harm on me, and then to be immediately followed up with, like, I
tender little hobbit hands.
You know, this, like, this idea that it had, like, has fundamentally shifted a lot of my worldview in, like, that 2 second little period where you can go from extreme aggression to
concern
and care.
Sure.
And, you know, like, it just, I remember, like, dude, I'm saying for, like, days afterward, I'm, like, walking around my house and I'm all, like, just screwed up. I can't, and I'm trying to express this to my wife. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I was hurt and he was putting me out. And then he touched me like I would touch you.
Oh, dear.
I'm like, what is...
Yeah, I wouldn't have told her that.
It's this weird, like...
Well, secret's out.
Yeah, it just... It like, that was that specific moment that locked me in. And I was like, man, I'm here every Tuesday, every Thursday. Okay, this right. is... And it's like...
Buddy, you're on those mats. You're like, you're my brother. We're, you know, we're teammates. That's what I'm here for. That's what you're here for. We're, you know... I don't even know how to explain it beyond that. We're family. That's
we
got to
get Jesse into jiu-jitsu.
You know when... yeah, it's the strangest thing ever. Because you know when you get infatuated with something, right? Like Banished is a perfect example, right? When you played Banished, or Banished is the perfect example, where like you text me in all capital letters, Banished is the best game ever created.
Oh, it's the best. You.
It's a good game.
And
how
like,
dare
it
you.
Was at the time.
For the next like 4 days, I don't want to talk about it if it's not Banished.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way.
You get like
right into things.
If I even get the inkling that like somebody I know is even remotely interested in jiu-jitsu, there's a guy at my work right now, Troy.
Yeah.
And this guy has said to me just in passing, he's like, yeah, you know, me and my son were watching that Rainer Gracie. We were watching him. That's pretty cool, eh? I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool, man. So what are you doing on Tuesday night? And like you just, it's like a religion. You just can't help but like, come on into the fold.
Let me
come
proselytize.
On. You know, it's one of those things, but, and that's why I want to, I guess, bleed over the group that I interact with at JITS to the group, I mean, this group, me and you on the podcast, because we do have those conversations that'll be like...
Can I come just to talk? I'm a little too tubby yet to roll on the mat. Let me drop about 50 pounds.
That's a good way to do that.
Yeah.
Real good way to do
that. I was
going to say,
I'll just vomit myself down about a weight class and a half.
I don't know if it's supposed to work this way, but I do lose like 2 to 3 pounds every jiu-jitsu class.
You probably sweat your bag out.
Like, yeah. I don't know if that's supposed to happen, but like, I will lose 3 pounds in 2 hours.
Sure, yeah.
And it just like, you know, but in any case, it's a pretty cool mesh too because I get to drop this question on him now.
Uh-oh.
And
you know that he'll be able to answer it.
Oh, totally.
Because 3 fingers, but it was once and I made $20. What?
And there's that awkward pause we always
got
talk
me.
About.
It's not often I get stopped dead. That stopped me dead.
Dead in his tracks.
All of a sudden, like 9 different jokes tried to come out at once. I'm like, I can't do it.
And like, I remember the first like couple weeks when I found out that there was gamers there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like, oh my God, you got your gamers too. Let's talk about everything.
Dude, I fucking installed World of Warcraft after 8 years away from the game after like the night of last Tuesday's episode with Coach.
Oh shit, I'm getting back into WoW, aren't I?
He talked me into it. Like just all he needed to do was say like 3 town names I remembered. And I'm like, I'm going to go check that out. So I go through the whole, I was with tech support because you can't remember your login or your PVQs after 8 fucking years.
That's true.
It showed me my last time logged in was like February 16th, 2009. I was 2 dudes ago. Like I have completely metamorphosized myself.
2 major decisions ago.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Sure. So I log in and like I get in there and you know how like Blizzard games will let you tick to like, playable. optimal, and then but another 25% after. I was like 2 kilobytes past playable. I'm in, and there's my fucking characters there, and everything is just like it was 8 years ago, and I am fucking all about that game now, man.
Man, that night, so I sent him a message on Facebook, something to the effect of, listen, I sent him a picture of it installing.
And does Coach listen to this?
Yeah.
He hasn't played with me yet. Oh, no, he played with me for 15 minutes, and I don't know if that gets you out of the punishment that he said he would instill upon you if you didn't try it. So you need you need to play for a legit, you need to get to level 10, otherwise.
It's, I sent him a picture of it installing, and then he sent me this, like, novel. Uh-oh. Of like, oh, you're looking for a game with immeasurable lore? Check. Looking for a game that you can play with your friends or alone? Check. And all these statements followed by check. And I was like, if I don't play this, he's going to strangle me.
That's
a legitimate threat.
Good. Oh, yeah. Oh, what I meant to say was that, about being that guy at jiu-jitsu who just all of a sudden starts gushing about games. I'm in the fucking lunchroom at my work. I work at a bank. I'm sitting there with, like, middle-aged women. I'm like, World of Warcraft is the greatest game ever. I don't care how lame I sound. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, it's been 8 years. It's been 8 years.
You're just picking a scab on your arm. With the
and they're all like, they're like, oh, yeah, that's neat. I'm like, you're fucking right. It's neat. Holy shit, man. It sucked me right in. And he's right, though. All the shit he was talking on the last episode, it's all true, man. It's such a good game.
All right, we're 57 minutes in. Let's drop it on him.
Okay.
The following rules are true. You can change your mind. You like that?
I like how we do this every time, and it never gets any smoother.
No, I don't.
I think that's the whole point of it.
Yeah, it's our shtick now.
Oh, all right.
You can change your mind at any time, including immediately after you're finished recording, or when you see me next at jiu-jitsu, or like several years from now. You change your mind.
All right.
At any time. We are not asking for a particular order, so I don't need top 1 to 5.
Oh,
and
no.
I remembered all 3 rules this time because I'm a boss. You can use entire series as one selection. So
okay,
you can
that
say
makes it a bit easier.
Zelda blank. That's Zelda is one of my selections.
Yes.
Hit him.
Okay. Top 5 video games of all time. Go.
Zelda. Hands down, Zelda. That whole franchise I've played up until the most recent one since I've had kids anyway, I've played through every single Zelda title that's ever been created. I fucking love that franchise. Elder Scrolls, same thing. Thousands of hours lost into the Elder Scrolls franchise.
Believe it.
You know, yeah, probably thousands of hours at least. Damn, man, it's tough to just pick 5.
Nothing else matters.
Oh, yeah. I gotta say Perfect Dark for the Nintendo 64. That was such a game changer for me.
I think that might be a first timer.
That, to me, was the true spiritual successor to GoldenEye, because it was still made by Rare before it got the Bond franchise got bought out by EA, I think it was. So it still had that old school N64 shooter feel to it, but they just added all that extra expansion card stuff with the secondary gun effects and all that kind of thing. So that was a big one for me.
I was unequivocal dog shit at GoldenEye.
Oh, I was that.
GoldenEye is basically, that was 2 generations ago of chivalry for me, where it's like, fine, I'll play it, but only so we can get on to something else because I'm so bad at it.
Do you remember Andrew Townsend?
Mm-hmm.
That guy used to invite me over. I was good buddies with him back in the day. I used to play CYO basketball with him. That's how I got together with him. He was the guy that he'd invite me over and be like, hey, want to play GoldenEye? Because it's like all I do when you're not here. And then you just get
destroyed.
And I'm like, yeah, well, let's get on a PC, son.
Yeah. No, I'm good. GoldenEye's fine.
Yeah.
That was like my buddy Phil in every fighting game ever. It's just like, so you want me to just like stop trying to punch or kick you?
Perfect Dark, you got 2 more.
Oh, 2 more? I know I'm going to get heat for this one, but EVE Online.
That makes Curly a happy man.
I love EVE. Like, spreadsheets, and planetary interaction.
Woo! Spreadsheet.
Yeah, let's crunch some data.
You know, it's the same like itch scratching satisfaction you get from organizing a box full of magic cards where you can sit there and go through all the fittings on your ship and you can just find that like 0.1 CPU extra and then get that extra 0.01 worth of damage out of it.
So
you know, I spend more time in the tools associated with EVE, like EFT and EVEmon, than I actually do playing the fucking game.
Dude, the one thing that's changed for me is nothing's reflex for me anymore when I log into WoW. Like before, I used to have all my mods, and I could basically, just like the Make Love Not Warcraft episode, where the guy's like doesn't even blink and his face doesn't even change.
Just your uber macro, just out of this world.
Oh man, and I could heal raids and just click, 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 all good. Now I'm like, what the fuck is versatility? Jesse explained it to me like 4 times. Well, Wyatt, it says that it increases your damage and your health. And then like 2 hours later, I'm like, this cape gives me +2 versatility. What the fuck is versatility again? So I used to love doing the tinkering because it's like, oh, that's going to cut down my cast time. But this one increases my health or my healing. What one does the most healing per second? Oh, now yeah. I'm just like, do druids wear cloth? You know, like, I used to be right micro level in with everything, and now I'm, like, the friggin', like, satellite flyover, where it's just like, does that make my stats go up or down?
And so, like, you're talking about organizing magic cards, so you don't just wrap an elastic band around your unsleeved deck and throw it in the shoebox full of random crap that you've
The listeners can't hear me twitching. I should have brought it in. I'm so proud of how well organized my magic collection is. I got that. I came in for Christmas and I got that Kaladesh gift box, and it came with, I didn't even realize, it's got these little stickers inside of it.
Yeah.
And all these little stickers let you sort everything out by like color, and then they got like the multicolored stickers.
Oh, no.
And so the whole thing, I even bought a pack of cue cards so I could make my own little device and I could subdivide all the categories. It's all done by set. I'm really nerding out hard right now on the magic cards, but I'm
love
so
it.
Fucking...
I get that. I do that. I do a very similar thing when it comes to like my range bag or like my truck get-home kit. Like that kind of stuff is meticulous.
Yes.
All my spices at home are organized by color.
Oh,
that's pretty
mine.
Cool.
It's like a fucking rainbow of food.
So it's like green, 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 red, 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 red. Yellow.
Yeah, son.
Turmeric.
Yeah. Got my curry powder next to my turmeric, and then that bleeds into cayenne pepper, which is noticeably lighter in shade than paprika. And
so anyway,
smoked
Josh,
paprika even
left.
Darker. That's called killing time so the brain can turn there, son. But he was into it. He's like, yeah, tell me about paprika.
Yeah. Oh, fucking, what do they call that shit? Coriander? Fuck coriander?
What?
Yeah. You don't like coriander? You like coriander.
I love it.
Like this interview is over.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Oh, my God. Okay, so this spawned one of the rare lunchtime, like, fucking rabbit holes at work today. I was reading a book called The Botany... Oh, shit. The Botanist...
It's a long title.
Oh! It has a lot of shit in it. I can't remember. The Drunken Botanist. That's what it was. The Drunken Botanist. And it's all the different plants and herbs and spices and trees and shit that they make booze out of.
Oh.
And it's a really well-written book, super entertaining.
That does sound cool.
And they were talking about cilantro, and they were saying basically there's a different genetic makeup in people where to some people it tastes really tasty and herby and has a great savory flavor, and to other people who are more sensitive to saponins, it tastes like straight-up dish soap. And then later on they're talking about jasmine, and I hate jasmine tea. I hate jasmine-scented rice. And my wife can't get enough of it. She thinks it's great. And I always say, it tastes like I'm drinking hobo piss. And inside it says, just like with cilantro, there's different genetic makeups where to some people it tastes sweet and floral, and to other people it tastes, she goes, well, quite like urine. And I'm like, holy fuck, man.
But now, how do you contextualize the flavor of urine? Because I can't say.
Some people are freaky.
You live a very interesting life.
True enough.
Yeah.
You're not getting out of this. You have one more.
Yeah, we've gone on 3 tangents to buy a time. So jasmine tastes like hobo piss.
I think I'm going to throw Diablo.
I'll
like Diablo. It's a toss-up. It's going to be a Blizzard game, either StarCraft or Diablo. I got to put it there, I think.
Yeah, Diablo is one of those ones that if you come from a certain era of gaming, it might not be on your list, but that was a part of your past.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I would rather play Diablo 1 than any other Diablo.
Really?
Because
I'm a 2 guy. I
haven't played 2 or 3, but I know I love 1. And it was just, I was saying to Coach last episode, he's like, why don't you get back into WoW? I said, because I'm afraid that it's not going to be the way I remember it, and it will forever tarnish the memory.
Yeah.
And he's like, just do it. And then I'm like,
Reboot, you remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
What a steaming pile of shit that is if you go back and watch it
again. Oh, I know.
It's so disappointing, because I loved the hell out of that show.
Have you ever played the game Return Fire?
No.
That's a great game.
I probably would. Sounds like Bill's kind of game.
So basically, and it was like a PS1 game, and you have a Humvee, an APC, and a tank. And then you have, like, basically, at the equator, everything's identical. Mm-hmm. And then there's water and, like, different kind of, like, traps and stuff like that. And basically, your goal is to go all the way into the other guy's base, pick up his flag, and bring it all the way back to your flag post. And obviously, the APC drops mines, the tank shoots, and the Humvee can float and also drive super fast, but it's really weak. And that game was one of my favorite games, just like Rampage World Tour was amazing when I was a kid, because beat-em-ups were good back then, and Abe's Odyssey, Oddworld.
Oh, yeah.
So I picked up all three of those on the PlayStation Store, like on my PS3, like a decade later. I couldn't put 10 minutes into all three combined. Yeah. And it's like, is the game just shit because it was always shit, or am I just I'm jaded now, you know?
That was Skate for me. Skate 1, 2, and 3. I played hours of those games.
I could fuck someone up at Tony Hawk now if I tried to play it. Oh, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. And I remember like being so immersed in it. And as soon as I picked it up, it was like, it just sucked.
Here's one for you guys, because I'm interested to see what both of you say to this. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a series while you're playing it irrevocably die on you? And I don't mean like you were really into this in college and then shit happened and you couldn't get back to it 5 years and I just couldn't get back into it. I remember Tony Hawk, and I had played all the Tony Hawks going through until like one of the more recent ones. It was like one of the last ones before, you know, like they stopped being made. And Grand Theft Auto, same thing happened to me too. Not Vice City, but the one after it.
San Andreas.
Yeah. Where I was at an 11 the whole time from like the second I opened it up and put it in till about 80 hours in, and all of a sudden I just went, another escort mission? Zero. I went from 11 to zero in one button press.
Wow.
Have you ever had a game where you were just like all in and then all of a sudden it just...
Yes.
You know what I'm going to say, but go ahead.
Total War, the Total War franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I had Shogun Total War when it first dropped, and then I got the expansion pack for it, but I played the hell out of that game when I was a kid, and then there was just a point where I got to it, and I'm like, fuck this game, fuck this turn-based strategy bullshit.
And you just couldn't repair the damage.
Nothing, and I don't know what it was. Like, that game was responsible for, like, God, even my love for Japanese history. Like, I love that entire genre because of Shogun Total War, but be damned if I can play more than 10 minutes on that game.
It's so weird how that happens.
Fallout 4.
Really, eh?
Oh, yeah. Big time. And I mean, like, you know, I've said on this podcast before, like, after Fallout 3, I played Fallout 3 through a couple times and then started hosting a yearly Fallout party.
Really?
Like, I'm the Fallout guy.
Damn.
And Fallout 4, I was probably 30 hours in, and it was those, not escort missions, just the settlement missions. And there was no, it's like it just lost its balls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe 6 or 7 months later, I installed a bunch of mods and played on hardcore mode. So it was much more difficult. All of your decisions matter. And I was on fire again. Fallout's the best ever. This is the game I wanted it to be. I remember saying that on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And about 25 hours in, it just...
And there's no warning. It's like basically you're coming home, you just got a promotion, and you hit on a scratch ticket, and you walk into the house, and the love of your life is getting railed by the neighbor. And it's just like, you can never, ever go back to the way it was before. Yeah, it's just... I think there's a couple other games that happened to me, but when you said Tony Hawk, it just reminded me of that. In the middle of the mission, I think I go collect 15 of these basic logoed items. And I picked up like number 2, and I was just like, fuck number 3. And that was it. I was done with the series forever.
Yeah.
just like we are with this episode. Bye. Could you imagine we ended it? That would be pretty funny.
No, it wouldn't be funny. That would be rude.
Well, thanks for having me on.
This is mild as shit compared to our intro music.
No, man. Listen, I'm going to go home. I'm going to play Banished, and I'm going to eat Rice Krispies. As much as I am going to tell myself that I'm not going to do that and that I'm going to smite the cereal demon inside of me.
I have 39 minutes left before my account time on my WoW account times out.
No, I'm going to go chow down on some Rice Krispies and play some Banished until my eyes start doing that. And I'm going to go to bed, wake up tomorrow for some brilliant IT work.
Nice. That's fulfilling, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I'm going to play a little Mass Effect 2 tonight, I think. Yeah. That's another one, too. I should have added that to the list, but I'm just playing through that franchise for the first time ever, and it's mind-blowingly good, but I'm not done, so I don't know if I can give it the title spot.
Jesse believed in that so much that he bought Bill and I, like, the CD, like, PC game copies.
Oh, yeah.
And gave them to us just for no reason. He's just like, I just want you to experience it. Now I'm like, now the expectations on this game are so high.
That guy's gotta be a serial killer, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's probably a body in his basement right now.
There's some Dexter stuff going on there for sure.
That's not on Netflix anymore.
Is Bill. Come and find me. Or don't. I don't really care. We are located at 436 Colburn Street. East in Brantford, Ontario. Find us online, thedevilsbench.com or /thedevilsbench. No, just Devil's Bench or The Benchcast, because I couldn't get the and not the at the same time. It just hates social media. Who are you?
I am trying to figure that
Hurry
out
up,
myself.
Hurry up, scrub. We only got 30 seconds.
I'm trying to figure that out myself. I was trying to be deep and existential. Bah. Go find me
Red Eye Round Eye on Steam. Josh Perry right here.
What are you on Steam?
Red-Eyed Round Eye. It's a long story. We don't have 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, we need to bring Josh back and discuss gamer names, which I'm gamer name confused right now. I keep changing it. I don't know
Yeah, it's annoying as fuck. Pick one, son.
I know, but I feel like
we only got 30 seconds.
But I think that if I kept it as Tango November, and it just turned